Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
This is the smell of a warm 3-day-old egg salad sandwich in a wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a hefty, ultra-strong trash bag with new Fabuloso lemon scent.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Smell the difference? When life gives you stinky, get Hefty Ultra Strong with new Fabuloso lemon scent. It smells like clean, freshly picked lemons. So no matter what's inside your trash, you can stop the stink and smell the lemon.
Hey, what's going on? You're listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree, and I'm the host of the show as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, and abundance for Black women. Liberation, too. Can't forget that. Let's go ahead and talk about what we're going to be diving into in today's episode. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to my sistren that are looking to either, quote-unquote, quiet quit or just all in out quit their jobs in 2024. If you were like me, you're just like so sick of it, you are over it, over all the things, and you're just ready to peace out, right? So I want that for you. I want that for you because I wanted that for me and I took action on that. However, I want to, you know, give you a little, I guess, advice, or I want you to consider this episode kind of like a cautionary tale before you go ahead and put in that resignation, okay? So before we get into this episode, I do want to, first of all, welcome you into the space, as I mentioned before. Welcome, welcome. I think I mentioned that. And invite you just to, you know, tell yourself, like, this is my time that I am going to, you know, connect with Bree, because in my head, we are connecting with each other. And I'm going to make space for myself. I'm going to get my journal out, because there might be some nuggets or takeaways for me that I can, you know, delve into later on in the coming days. And I'm gonna just make this again my time. So please allow yourself to do that, because, you know, this is what we deserve as Black women, just all the space and room for us to let our hair down, be vulnerable, and have these kinds of conversations. So if you also need, get yourself some tea, some wine, if it's, you know, evening or afternoon, light a candle, put your jammies on. Like, I don't know, just do whatever you need to do to just allow yourself to be present during this time, okay? Whatever that looks like and feels like for you. Okay, so something that I do like to do at the top of the podcast episode is, you know, talk about briefly what I did in the last few days for self-care. It could be healing, it could be thoughts, it could be actions, etc. So this week, I guess the one thing that just jumps out right off the bat is that I went and got a massage. To my single ladies, all the single ladies, if you are single and you're not ready to mangle, you gotta be touched, okay? You have to be touched, because that's one of the ways of many to help you to connect with yourself, to heal, just having that human connection, that human touch, I am single. And so one of the things I do like to do for a variety of reasons, including that, is just go and get a massage. So I hadn't had a massage in maybe like 2 or 3 months. And before that, I hadn't had a massage. It had been a minute. And so one thing that I want to tell you, like, if you've never if you have not ever had a massage, or it's been a long time, Don't be alarmed if you end up getting one and you feel kind of like a little bit sick. That happens to me sometimes, especially if it's been a long stretch of time in between massages, because apparently it's just kind of like it with all the pressure and the drainage and the things moving and releasing and all that stuff, it's kind of like a detox for your body, or it can feel like a detox for your body. So don't be alarmed. Don't be surprised. I think it's probably a good thing. It's like your body's letting go. It was in need of some type of release or movement, you know, in some areas, and that's what happened. So I had that happen to me a few months ago, but I didn't have that happen this time, so I was very thankful. But girl, sis, find you a spot. Start putting some massages on your schedule and make that time, because it has a plethora of benefits for you, okay? So that's what I did for self-care. It was very much needed. I have another appointment booked. My goal is to go once a month if I can, and I really want to do that this year. I don't want to skip any months if I can help it. So I have another appointment booked for February. But when I walked out of that space, and by the way, the one side of my body was extremely tight. Once you start going to a massage therapist, they're going to be able to tell you some things or make some educated assumptions about you and your body. And you can dismiss it. You can say, oh, no, she don't know what you're talking about. But, you know, they're really up in there rubbing and they have studied their craft. And so a lot of times they're going to notice different things about your body. One thing that kept coming up for me is that like one specific side of my body is maybe overcompensating for the other side. And even though I don't notice it, there's like a lot of stiffness and limited mobility, I guess, in like one arm in particular and different things like that. And it's not something that I really wouldn't, I mean, I would notice like it's a little tight, but I would just figure, oh, because I'm working out more, I'm doing yoga, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm glad that my massage therapist mentioned it. And obviously I knew when she was doing it as well, because you can feel the difference depending on where they're touching and things like that. So it's not like you're not going to know. If you're going to a good therapist, they're going to get up in there. But I'm glad that we talked about it, because it was just like, honestly, real talk, for the last few months there, I have been in different modes of just stress and anxiety for different reasons. And even though I am firm in my belief that I'm doing the work, I am making myself a priority, it's not always possible to always be like 100% or not. Like, there's no specific percentage, but it's not always possible to just have everything completely addressed, healed, I'm perfect, life is grand, and now I can just, you know, ride a unicorn off into the sunset. Like, at least for me, that's just not how it works. So your body does not lie, ladies. There's a book called The Body Keeps the Score. Really good book. Please make sure that you read that. I think I've talked about this maybe a few years ago, but I'm not 100% positive. But the body does not lie, honey. The body does not lie. So yeah, make sure that in ways that you can, you're able to tap in and tune in to the signs and signals that your body is giving you, because it's always talking to us. Our bodies always have something to say. Our bodies always are givers of information if we're able to just kind of be still, get quiet, and just be open to listening to what the body has to say. So yeah, one way that I do that is massages. So once a month, I'm going to be doing that, you know, going forward in 2024. So that's what I did for self-care as of late. Okay. So let's go ahead and get into this episode. Again, kind of like a cautionary tale. Take this with a whole cup of salt. If it doesn't apply, let it fly, as they say. Or what does it take? The meat and spit out the bone. Whatever the saying is, I want you to apply that to this. All I want to do is just give you some food for thought, because I know that a lot of us, and I was at this place in 2019, but a lot of us, we're just over it. We are done. We are tired of being a slave to the system. We are tired of just barely making enough to get by and barely having time for ourselves. It's like you're working 40, 50 hours a week, including your commute. A lot of us have long commutes. And it's like, where is the freaking benefit? Where is the reward? Like, do I have to give my best years, my 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, just so I can finally, you know, retire and live hopefully for another year, not year, another decade or two? Like, nah, bump that. You know, I don't agree with it. I have, honestly, I feel like I have been very rebellious against that whole like corporate or job system since I was in my mid-20s. And so that was like the late 90s and then obviously like the 2000s. Like when I hit about 25, 26, somewhere in there, maybe 27, I was like, this is a whole scam. And I hate it. I cannot stress that enough. Going to work to make a check. I hated it. I hate the whole, everything that it represents. I just hate it because I'm like, why do I have to give away my best time just because this is what how the world, or how, at least in the US, how it's set up. Who agreed to this? I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign on to this. I didn't say this is what I wanted to be a part of. Like, this is just not the way for me. So I knew that at a relatively, I guess, young, or at least to me, young age. But some of y'all already knowing, and you're not even like the age I was, 25, 26, 27. You're younger than that, and you're just like, nah, this ain't for me. This is not the way. And I'm co-signing that with you, okay? But y'all, sistren, I want us to do these things the right way. I want us to do these things the right way. So, you know, again, I want to share some things with you. And again, take the meat, spit out the bone, okay? What I don't want is that you end up caught up in a situation that it feels really hard to recover from, okay? So I was perusing YouTube maybe like a week ago, and there was a young lady. She was Black. I don't recall her name. If I had to guess, she was probably in her mid-20s. It's something about the mid-20s, right? I would say mid to late 20s. If I had to guess. And very long story short, she was talking about, and she was crying. I think that's why I looked at the video, because it was in the suggested. I had never watched a video of hers. And again, I don't even know her name. I would have to go back through my history to look it up. But I think she was crying in the little clip, and it was about work and how she quit her job. Oh no, she said she was fired. She was fired from her job. And so I was like, oh, let me watch this real quick. And so she was just talking about how she went into her corporate job, and apparently she had worked there for a few months, and they let her work out the whole day. And that Friday afternoon, I guess her boss or HR or someone called her into the office. It was the end of the day. And so she goes in, and her boss is just like asking her, like, I guess her boss just said, hey, let's call her Janae, because I don't recall her name. Her boss was like, hey, Janae, how are you? And Janae was like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm great, you know. And then the next thing you know, boom, the hammer is dropped. Her boss was like, well, just so you know, today is your last day. And that was it, okay? Today is your last day, period. And so she was crying, and my heart just went out to her. My heart just went out to her because she was devastated. She was devastated. And, you know, I was just really sad. I was just really sad for her because she was just crying, and she was explaining how she really liked the job and she was doing a good job. But they just let her, and there were going to be some other people being let go. And she felt like they had known this, but they still hired her just like a few months before, and all these things. And so I was like bummed for her. I really was, because she was like, you know, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do now? And so I was like, okay. Because she had mentioned, like, you know, my situation. I talked about this in a previous video and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so I was like, oh, let me go and look at her previous video and just kind of see, like, what's going on with her. Because, you know, I am a nosy queen. And beyond being nosy, it was just like I was so pulled in by her story. Like, I was devastated for her, real talk. I really, honest to God, I was. It made me very sad. Anyway, so I went and found the previous video, and my mood or how I felt, it changed when I watched that second video. The first video that I saw, I was feeling, you know, very sad. But when I watched the second video, I was just like, my brain just started going, or my brain started going, because in that video that she had made three or four months before, you know, this recent one, she was talking about how she quit her job. So she had a job and she quit that job. And I was like, okay, so why did she quit that job? You know, the previous job. And in the video, if I recall correctly, she was saying how she quit whatever the first job was because she just didn't. I hope I'm getting this right. She didn't feel like working. I think, don't quote me on that. But then the second thing is, she said she was making really good money and she quit because she didn't want to get caught in this trap of making good money. She didn't want to be trapped. You know, they call it the golden handcuffs. If you've never heard that statement before, this is to my youngins specifically that listen to the podcast. The golden handcuffs, if I recall correctly, because it's been a minute since I've even thought about this term, but it's been around forever. And it's like you have this really good paying job, but you're trapped. You're trapped in, or you feel like you're trapped. They kind of get you. You're making X amount of money and you get comfortable. See, that's the part. You get comfortable. So let's say, for example, you find a job and you're making $75,000 a year or $50,000. Like, just give me a number, $100,000, right? Whatever is good for you for like a 9-to-5 corporate type job. And you start making this money, and then what do you do? What does someone who, like me, for example, let's use me, since I've talked about myself many times on this podcast, what does someone like me who, for example, isn't operating from a place of being whole and healed or not feeling that way, not feeling like you're worthy, feeling like you need to keep up with people, feeling like you need to have all the things to prove that you are valuable and you want to be seen in a certain way by other people because you care about their opinions about you, or maybe you've never had anything. So it's just like, as soon as you get the money, you've got to it's just gone out of your hand as soon as you get your check, right? Because you haven't learned how to be a good steward yet. Again, talking specifically about myself. So what baby Bree would do, or young Bree would do, is she would go out, spend that money, honey. She's buying new cars every couple of years and having to roll those car payments into another car because she had to have the latest and greatest to feel special. She's out here buying handbags and outfits, and she's not really handling her money good, but it's a really good amount of money, especially for someone without a degree. And so I'm just like, oh, this is going to last forever. And then I end up getting pregnant and having a child. And now, I haven't saved anything. I'm upside down in car payments. I'm running up credit card bills up the wazoo because, you know, it's like I never had anything. So I've got to go out and spend it all, right? That's the mentality I had. I wasn't about that saving life. And so that's the golden handcuffs. You kind of put yourself into a trap, because you're making this money and then you feel comfortable and secure, and you start spending and making unwise choices. And then down the line, it could be a year later, it could be 3 years later, it could be 5 years later, whatever the case may be, you have a certain amount of debt. Your income is more or less still the same because they're not giving raises like that. The raises ain't raising, not like that. And guess what? You're trapped. You need that job to make that money, and you don't see a way out because you have, maybe you've gone out and bought a house, and then 2 years later you're like, F this job, excuse my French, I hate this place, I hate it here, you know what I mean? This is not what I want to do, this is not how I want to spend my days. That was me, minus the house. Literally, the golden handcuffs, that's exactly what it is. You just are a slave to the system, a slave to the environment. And again, for me at least, it was like a self more or less, it was really just my doing. It was my doing. So, yeah. So she says she didn't want to get, you know, basically caught up with the golden handcuffs. And I honestly forget that first reason, but I feel like it was because she just didn't want to work 40 hours a week. Like it was she didn't like the job, or it was just boring or something. But again, don't quote me on that. But the point of it all is there were two specific reasons why she was just like, well, I don't want this job, and I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to quit this job. And she did. And I'm guessing she didn't have like anything backed up, and you know how it goes. And I guess eventually down the line, she found that job that she really liked, and she was there for a couple of months and she got fired. Whew, I feel like I just said a whole bunch. I hope that you're still with me and understanding what I am relaying here. So that's where we are, okay? And so I was just like, whoa, because I hear a lot about quiet quitting. You're just kind of like barely doing your job. And I, listen, I'm not here to judge. I'm not. You do what you feel is best for you, but I do want to tell you that for every action that we take, there are consequences. Good consequences, negative consequences. Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I don't even really know what that means, but I remember that phrase from science. But everything that we do, there's actions. Something is going to happen from the things that we do. Okay? And so if you are deciding like you are completely done with your job in 2024, first of all, like I said, I feel you on that. That was me. I knew, like I said, back in like the 2000s, and I want to say in the 99, but in the 2000s, I was just like, this ain't for me. I am not about this life. And I always felt that way from like I said, around that mid 20 mark. And now we're two decades later. Okay. I'm over 45. So for over two decades, I was just like, this ain't for me. That's a long chunk of time, okay? But obviously, I worked. I had a daughter to provide for, and, you know, I just having rent to pay and car notes, clearly, and food and daycare and private school and, you know, healthcare and all that stuff had to be paid for because that's the system that we're in. So I stayed. One of my biggest mistakes was not believing in myself enough to know that, hey, you don't have to stay in this role. Okay, you don't have to stay here. That was one of the biggest mistakes I made, was staying in the position. Like, I was the type of person who, and this could be a good thing. I'm not trying to say that this is all a negative, but this is just how I was. Once I got into a job, I was there forever. I was there forever, real talk. So, like, I had the one job. I was in sales. And my income, I don't even remember what it was, but maybe, let's say I left there and I was making 40 to 45,000. I'm not even sure if that's correct, but it probably was somewhere in there, I'm guessing. 35 to 45,000. Again, I was in my 20s. This was in the 2000s. That was good money for someone without a degree, okay? I hated that job, though, after a certain time. The people were great for the most part, but it was just like, it was soul draining to sit at that computer and do the same thing day in and day out. Oh my gosh. I just felt like a robot because there were certain things that we had to say on each call. And I hated it with a passion and a fieriness of a thousand suns. But I stayed there for like probably 9 or 10 years. And ended up getting another job, pretty much the exact same position, but for a different corporate company. And I stayed there for I started like 2007 and I left in 2019. So what is that? Like 12 years? If the math is mathing, that was about 12 years. So the first job, 9 or possibly 10 years. Second job, 12 years. When I get somewhere, I stay. And I hated that. I hated that job too. I hated that job with a thousand sons as well. So, you know, but I stayed because, you know, golden handcuffs and me thinking, you better be thankful for this job. And, you know, I shouldn't be looking at other stuff. And I really felt like I was trapped. Like I just couldn't do anything. And that was a huge mistake. We always have choices. And if I could go back in time and talk to 25-year-old Bree, 35-year-old Bree, 40-year-old Bree, girl, like, you are not trapped here like you think you are, but you have so much healing to do and things to change about the way that you think about yourself that you feel like you're stuck, and you're going to feel that way until you really start to do the work, okay? You're really going to be feel that you're stuck until you start to do the work. So I stayed for 12 years, 2019. So if that sounds like you, again, I understand. I may not have the exact understanding of what you're experiencing, but if it was anything like how I was feeling, listen, I got you. I got you. I really, really do. But what I want to stress is that several things. Like, no, you do not have to stay there. You are not trapped. But if I can leave you with the biggest piece of wisdom, especially to the younger ladies that are listening to me. First of all, if you're a follower, if you're a believer, as I am, before you do anything, honey, I would advise you to talk to God. I know I say that probably a lot, but you gotta talk to God about this. Black representation in media matters. When we see people that look like us or share our experiences, it provides a sense of community, validation, and belonging while also resisting the narrative that we must remain silent and invisible. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR, where you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, and empowerment. One episode that I really enjoyed was titled, In Serena Williams, A Generation of Black Players Saw a Legend Who Looked Like Me. The way they wove the episode together with interviews, storytelling, and music kept my interest because it felt more like a documentary than a typical news piece. This is what it feels like to me to have our stories centered. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the country we reflect. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get podcasts. My hair is kinky, it's coily, it's beautiful, it's all the things, but the dryness is real, so it's also prone to feeling parched. This is why Waze Anti-Frizz Cream is my new BFF. It not only tames frizz, but helps my hair feel more hydrated. Listen, summer is coming. We are trying to be outside, going to brunch, plus traveling, and summer activities aren't always kind to our strands, okay? So let me tell you what I do for this. I wash my hair every 1 to 2 weeks. Don't sleep on Waze Detox Shampoo, by the way, if you have hard water or buildup. I detangle, I smooth in a little of the Waze Anti-Frizz Cream, then shingle in my natural gel. My hair is frizz-free, it's hydrated, and it's cute for days. Love sleek styles? Waze Anti-Frizz Cream works as a heat protectant up to 450 degrees as well. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code SELFCARE for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code SELFCARE.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You got to ask for insight and clarity and guidance. And what should my next move be? What would you have me do, Lord? This is how I'm feeling. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this. I really need you. You know, what should I do? Which direction should I go in? What would you have me do, Lord? And sit with that and just continue having that conversation with God and yourself. That is like the very first thing that I would do. Like, once you really start getting an inkling of like, this ain't for me, I ain't about that life, I got to get out of here. I'm not saying, especially if it's under abusive circumstances, I guess I have to say that in case you're just like, oh, she wants me to stay and I'm being abused. No, sis, I'm not saying that at all. Like, no, I'm not saying that at all. All right. But you really need to be talking to God before you talk to anybody else, before you ask your mama and them, what should I do, your friends, etc. God needs to be the very first person that you talk to. And I can tell you that I was having conversations with God actually for a while. And I feel like, honestly, here's the thing. When you get that answer, and if you get that answer, and if he says move, you need to move. You asked and he done showed you some things. You gotta move, sis. I feel like for me specifically, because again, I had so much I had so many unhealed parts of me that even hearing from God and then feeling like I received an answer, once I received it, I was scared. I was like, oh no, I can't do it now, you know? So I have been in a position for a long time and I was feeling like this urge and instruction to move, but I was scared. There was a lot of fear there. So I'm sure I stayed there much longer than probably God had intended. But I digress. Talk to God. Like, that needs to be number one priority. And for me, I finally felt like I really had heard from God. And I just felt it in my spirit. And I bounced. I put in my 2-week notice September 27th or 29th of 2019. I think it was the last Friday of the month, whatever that day is. And I never looked back. One thing I will tell you is, and this is, you know, in my humble opinion, I feel like even though, like, I feel like I got the go-ahead from God to go ahead and bounce, it wasn't easy. And I want to let you know that. I'm not sure what people are saying in the streets about that moment when you leave. Yes, there was definitely a release that I feel like happened for me. I felt like a weight was lifted, like a certain kind of weight was lifted. But it was just like I wasn't prepared for life on the outside. I feel like I was in prison. I wasn't prepared for life on the outside, okay? And there was a lot happening, and I feel like God took me, like, September or, like, 2019, or let's just say 2020, because I quit the end of September, so basically October of 2019, and then COVID was, like, what, February? February of 2020. So I was just like, oh boy. And we all know what COVID was like, obviously. But 2020 was a hard year for me. 2021 was a hard year for me. 2022 was probably pretty hard as well. It wasn't all like lows and down times, but actually, 2020 wasn't hard for me. I would say 2021 and 2022 were hard for me because 2020, I'm pretty sure I had money. And what I didn't have, though, was, again, because I was still operating from a place where I was starting to get more self-awareness because I had already started my healing journey, but there were still some areas that were, like, I was a piece of work, if that makes sense. And so in my mind, I didn't think that I was going to have a hard time because I was just like, well, I feel like God told me to go, so everything should be okay now from this point forward. But that wasn't the case. I went through some trials. I did. And it was hard. Financially, hard. Please hear me when I say that. H-A-R-D. Hard. 2021, 2022. It wasn't all, you know, completely lows, but there were some very hard parts, in 2021 and 2022. All right. It took some time for me to even feel like I had my foundation rebuilt, So, you know, I feel like God took me through that period but it was like a very rough season for me. I learned a lot about myself, but it was hard. It was hard. So if you're not having these conversations with God and making your requests known to Him, like, I can't even imagine how much harder it might have been for me. I can't even imagine. I don't know. I just couldn't even imagine. But if God is not telling you to move, or like if you haven't had that conversation and you're just like, well, I want to quit, but you haven't, like, you know, confirmed or checked in or said, you know, God, this is what I'm feeling, this is what I want to do, I really just want you to do that. I'm not saying that it's not going to work. I'm not saying that at all. But I feel like without God's cosign on it, it's just, it could be much, much harder than it might have been had He blessed it, or, you know, giving you that permission, that go ahead, like, yes, move forward. Does that make sense? So I just want you to make sure that you are in conversation. Again, that was for my followers, okay? And then the last thing that I want to stress to you, please have a plan. Please have a plan. You can just jump out there all willy-nilly, okay? But I really want to advise you to have a plan. Sometimes you can't. Like, you are just like, you know what? I am done. I'm going to step out on faith because for my sanity, my health, my mental health, my physical health, I can't continue to get beat down in whatever way, you know what I'm saying, anymore. I get that. Sometimes you just step out and you just hope for the best, okay? But if you can, create a plan. So that way, when you really get out there, you have a little something to fall back on. This plan, maybe it's you start socking away some money now. Like, you stop spending and you start putting some money into some high yield savings accounts, or you start paying down your debt, you know, or writing out a plan. Like, if you're starting, like, you're thinking to yourself, I want to start. For example, let's say you want to start a podcast career, okay? Because I've heard from a few of you that said that's what you started after listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care podcast. You're like, you know what? I can do that too. I can build a life off of what I feel like, at least in this season, is my purpose. And I'm just like, yes, you can, sis. Si se puede. Okay? Yes, you can. But sis, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan, because I'm going to tell you, like, when you get out there and things start going sideways, because again, this is not a linear journey that you will be on. I promise you. It's like, without a plan, you plan to fail. If you don't create a plan, you plan to fail. I think that's what the saying is. And that could not be that is like facts. That is truth. You gotta know what you're doing to some capacity. You gotta start preparing for that season where you might be going without some type of income for 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years, or consistent income, okay? You gotta be prepared for that mentally too. Physically, we know, but even mentally, because sometimes, like I said, I know it sounds amazing and it feels amazing, okay, and powerful to say deuces to that job that you've been at for 5 years, 15 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. And you're like, you know what? This experience is no longer honoring my journey. It's not honoring my value, my worth. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready for a change. But it's something mental starts to happen when you start to hit those lows and you don't have a plan. You look at life differently. You might look at yourself differently. You might, you know, really start to hit some times where you feel desperate. Okay? I want to make sure you know that. I want to give you the real about what could happen if you just decide to say, you know what, I'm putting in my 2 weeks tomorrow, but you haven't had a chance to really think it through. Again, I'm not saying that you can't. Please hear me. I'm not saying that you can't. But I would just really advise you, like, if this was my daughter, I would really advise her to have some type of plan, something that you are ready to implement after you put in that notice, okay? Because it can feel very isolating, very hard, very confusing, very stressful, okay? When the money is not coming in by a certain time, or you haven't found a job by a certain time. I still personally feel like if God brought you to it, He's going to get you through it. But that's why I'm saying you want to make sure that He's telling you, yes, now is the time to move. Does that make sense? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you how I knew that I was covered, if that makes sense. Even though, again, I was going through hell for a couple of years off and on. One thing that was really like, yes, this was God. This was definitely God. So after I left my job, what happened? Oh, gosh. Let me tell you something, okay? So after I left my job in 2019, In 2019, like right after I left, your girl filed for unemployment. Now, I don't know about other states, okay? But in California, at least, if my memory is correct, if you quit your job, you do not collect unemployment, sis. I want to make sure I say that. So check that too, okay? Again, I don't know if the times have changed, but I'm pretty sure that when I quit my job in 2019, the rule, generally speaking, was if you quit your job, just don't even come to us looking for unemployment. That was basically the vibe, okay? But I was like, you know what? I'm going to put in a request. I'm going to put in a request. And so I did. And surprisingly, it was approved. Okay? That unemployment child carried me through for quite some time as I just was able to get my bearings and figure things out. Okay? I needed that. Ain't no shame. I needed that because the money was not moneying. Okay? And yeah, I got it. But let me tell you what the gag was, so I'm getting the unemployment and I'm probably like a month or two in or something like that. And next thing I know, I get a letter in the mail. My job disputed the unemployment. Okay. My job disputed the unemployment. And probably because in their eyes, she quit. Like I told you, you're not supposed to get that. Okay. But let me tell you, when God is for you, He's for you. I remember this very clearly. Okay, so I had to go before a judge, or I don't know what the informal judges are called, but it was still a judge. I had to go before a judge and basically like plead my case or something. Okay, because I got a notification in the mail that it was being disputed. And so I had to go to this place and just dispute it or plead my case or something like that. And so I get there. And what was supposed to happen is my job or my ex-employer was supposed to show up by phone to take part in this like hearing or this informal hearing or whatever it's called, okay? And so I go into the little space and there's other people there because they're probably there for the same thing, okay? And I'm waiting to be called and you fill out a little paperwork or whatever. And people are coming and going. They're called for their case and they leave, and another person and they leave. People were coming in after me. I started to notice and they were being called out into their case. But I was still sitting there, and something in my spirit said to pray. I promise you, this is real. Something in my spirit said to start praying. So I'm sitting in this, let's call it the lobby. I'm sitting in the lobby waiting. I get this hit in my spirit that says just to start praying. And I start just praying and praying and praying. I did not stop. I just, no matter what was going on around me, I'm just sitting there and I'm just, you know, silently just like praying. Don't really know exactly what I was praying for, but I just started praying. And after some time, it could have been 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. I don't really remember. A gentleman comes. And he gets me and he pulls me. He's like, can I talk to you in the hallway? And I'm just like, oh, uh-oh. I'm like, yeah. So I go out there, and I don't recall what his title was. Maybe he was the informal judge. I don't remember, but someone came and asked if he could speak with me. He pulled me into the hallway, and he said, you know, Miss Mitchell, you were supposed to have your hearing or whatever it's called today, but as it turns out, woo, look at God. He didn't say that part, but I'm saying it already because I got chills. As it turns out, they didn't even show up for the phone call to have this case that they called for. So I'm sorry that your time was wasted. We are throwing this out and you can continue to get your unemployment. Do you hear what I just said? That for me was, there was just like no, like if I was questioning before, like this journey is not for me. When that happened, it was just like, bruh, there is nothing that can tell me that that was not God's hand on my life, my employment, my money, my situation, this calling, like I feel like I have for this season of my life, right? That was not a coincidence. Just to feel in your spirit that you need to start praying, you start praying, and then 10 minutes later, or whatever the time frame was, they call you out and tell you, like, we're dropping this? When the employer is the one that brought it to the table? What? So, and I had other things that happened in that two, three-year period that was just like, look at God. Like, look at God. Period. So again, just there were just different things that happened, and it just, when I think back on some of those things, it just blows my mind. Like when I tell you that even though there were some dark times with me quitting my quote unquote good job, because financially it was a good job, but mentally it was not, physically it was not. It just wasn't for me. And I'm just so thankful that I was supported in that way, and that God made a way where there were times where I just felt there was no way. So, you know, quitting your job, it's a big deal. It really is. And I want to encourage you. I'm not telling you to stay. I would never tell someone just to grin and bear it. A Black woman in a corporate office, like... Nah, I know, you know, about some of the things that we've had to go through and continue to experience in some of these office environments. So I'm not the one that would ever be like, no, don't quit your job. That's just not me. I would never tell someone that. But what I would tell them is just to ensure that they are in prayer and that they understand that there needs to be some type of plan in place and to start taking action towards that plan. Because again, when you jump out there, and I'm not saying this is going to be the case for every single person, but generally speaking, when you jump out there, things can get very real, very fast. Okay. I'm not saying these things to discourage you. I want you to walk in your purpose. I want you to live a life of more ease or more alignment with what you feel you were put here to do. I don't feel like Black women need to break their backs and be a hair away from burnout and completely stressed out and anxious and miserable and being treated such a way. Nah. I'm not about that at all. I just want you to just make sure that you've done your due diligence as much as you can, because you can't do everything, obviously, but as much as you can, just to set you up for a smoother transition, okay? And also, something else I want you to keep in mind is like that time, once you're out of that corporate environment, like that window of time, is about, at least for me, it was, I took some time to rest, but after a certain period, it's time to get to work. It's time to get to work. And that work is going to look different for different people and for different times. Like right now, a part of the work that I feel like God is leading me to is taking care of my health, because now I have this this time that I prayed for, this time that I cried for, this time that I pleaded with God for, where I was just like, I can't do this 9 to 5. I'm just not built that way. It's just not working for me. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to mentally and physically handle this. So I feel like I'm in a season where God is telling me, like, okay, I've given you that. And you're walking down this path, and I want you to take some of this time and treat certain things like a business outside of Brown Girl Self-Care, but like treating my body like a business and taking care of it the way that I would take care of, like going to a 9 to 5, treating my health like with like a business, treating my time with God like a business. In other words, giving God his time, and I can do a much better job of that. I am failing right now in that department. I am. Real talk. I could do much better with that. And I'm just so thankful that God has been so patient and loving and full of grace for me, because I have stumbled my way down this path. I tell you what. And though life has definitely changed or is changing, and you know, things are moving forward and up, especially as of like, I would say 2023, it's just like, it was just a lot. But I do see things changing, but I had to get over some really rocky points. I had to really do the work when it comes to healing in certain areas, or at least start the healing in certain areas, because those problems that you have when you quit, depending on what they are and whatever is going on within you, you're still going to have those problems when you quit that job, right? The mentals don't change unless the work is done. Does that make sense? So I don't want you to think that you're escaping and everything is going to be peaches and cream. Like, if there is some internal work that needs to be done while you're in that 9 to 5, you're not going to escape it just because you're not there anymore. Does that make sense? I hope so. So again, I'm honest to God. I'm not trying to discourage you. I want the best for you. I want prosperity for you. I want health and healing and abundance for you. I want liberation for every single Black woman listening to the sound of my voice, myself included, okay? I want that for us. I do. I just want us to make sure that we know, you know, what we're getting into as we start preparing and taking those next steps, okay? And leaving those dead environments that are not honoring and supporting you the way that you feel like you deserve and that you're worthy of. Does that make sense? So, yeah, that's it. That's all I got for you. I swear I don't be trying to make these episodes this length of time, but I just feel like I need to express myself in this way, and this is just how God designed me to be. Apparently, it's for some people. It's not for everybody, but it's for some people, and so I really hope that this resonates with you, and I hope that it's giving you some food for thought as you plan on leaving, continuing this exodus, if you will, from these environments that can be very toxic and harmful and undesirable for Black women, okay? All right, so that is it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Make sure, if you would be so kind, to go and answer this week's poll on Spotify, if that's where you're listening. And if you haven't had a chance to do so, please make sure that you rate this podcast wherever you're listening to it, be it on iTunes or Spotify. All right. All right, so that's it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Have a beautiful week, and I will see you next Monday on the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Take care.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.